The Big Story is brought to you by Scotiabank. If you go out in public, you're used to the idea that you're being recorded or photographed at some point. Between security cameras, strangers with smartphones, and other devices, your assumption of privacy in public has probably vanished in recent years. But there's a difference between a security camera and facial recognition software. And there's a difference between a smartphone held up in clear view and a camera concealed in a tiny opening in a wall or a kiosk. And if they warned you about them, that might be one thing. But what's happening at malls around Canada is quite another thing altogether. So, what are anonymous video analytics? What rules govern their use? Are there any options if you'd rather not take part? Do you have any rights here? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Welcome to our 100th episode. If you've been with us since the beginning, thank you so much. If you've just joined us, there are a ton of great episodes in our back catalog, and there's nobody that we'd rather welcome to the 100th episode of The Big Story than our most frequent guest, the man with the weirdest, most interesting stories in Canada.
Guess who's back? Back again. I'm playing.
Aaron Hutchins returns for the 7th time.
This is getting impressive. How many more till I get a free Subway sandwich?
You get free coffee after. You can have free coffee now.
Sweet.
There we go. Tell me how we found out about malls watching us.
It was actually just, I guess, a stroke of luck or bad luck, you could say, for Cadillac Fairview. There was a mall in Alberta where, you know, there's those directories, and it used to look like just a plain piece of paper that had a little dot that says, you are here, and you'd have to kind of figure out where you are and where your shoe store is.
Right, and it's broken down into like shoes or clothing or
and it wasn't
supplies.
Very intuitive. The new ones, if you go to, you know, good malls nowadays, the new ones have, it's very interactive, like an iPad. You know, you tap on it and you point to shoes or clothes or books or whatnot. And there was a mall in Alberta where the screen was broken, and all you had was basically just these a square box that had all like the file things typed out, and it said facial analysis and gender and age, and it was just kind of typed in with backslashes. I guess a savvy mall goer snapped a picture of it and put it up on Reddit saying, what's this all about?
Right.
And quickly people said, hey, this is, are they looking into, are they analyzing our, like, are they doing facial recognition here? And pretty soon the media, local media picked up on it, the national media, to the point where Cadillac Fairview said, yeah, we're doing this, but we're going to suspend it now that there's an investigation that's open into it.
Who opened the investigation?
Currently, there's two investigations open, I believe. There's one from the Provincial Privacy Privacy Commission and one from the Federal Privacy Commission happening right now.
What does the mall or any mall typically tell you about surveillance? Because all malls have cameras, right?
Right. I mean, when you walk into a mall, it's kind of established now. You'll see we have CCTV cameras that are there for security, which I think people understand. If someone gets, if there's a robbing or, you know, heaven forbid, a shooting or something, the police want some sort of cameras to kind of look into what happened. And I think people understand that. I think what there is no signage of, at least from all the malls I've gone to and all the mall general managers I spoke to, is that there's no signage anywhere that says, by the way, we have different cameras that are specifically looking at your face to find out how old you are, what's your gender, even things like if you're in a good mood or a bad mood, if you're happy or sad.
Hmm.
So when you go to these mall directories and you're looking at the screen and you're pointing out, you know, I want to go to this bookstore and then this shoe store, and you're looking at which directions to go, you don't really even notice it, because if the directory is black, if you look on the side, somewhere on the frame, there's just a small, small, very faint black circle. If it's a white directory, then it's probably a white circle. But it's very, very hidden. It's very subtle. And what it's doing is it's just looking at you to see, take a snapshot of who you are.
So what does facial recognition technology do?
Well, basically it looks at your face, kind of looks at the contours of it, and from however the technology works, determines based on your facial shape or whatnot, if you're a man or a woman. And there's no reason why it couldn't do your race or, you know, your ethnicity either.
Yeah.
Some of the companies that run this technology I spoke to at least one says, we don't do ethnic recognition because we think that could be used for, like, it could be prejudicial. Like, we don't like that idea being used. So they said we outright refuse to do it.
So this all sounds tinged with dystopia.
It's a little creepy.
What kind of framework is in place for this? Like, who draws that line that you mentioned, kind of
well, you can do age and sex and et cetera, but race is too far.
There's a bit of a gray zone here, and it's quite complicated because the malls, the ones who own the directory, the companies who use this, make the software, they've told me that they don't know that, Jordan, you are going to the mall, you were here at 10:50, and you clicked on, you want to go to EB Games, and you wanted to go and buy a Nintendo. Like, they don't know these things about you per se. What they say is they have something called anonymous visual analytics.
Okay.
Which, the reason that they claim this is different from facial recognition is that if you're at one side of the mall and then you end up the other side of the mall, it won't recognize who you are because it will take that snapshot of you, your age, your mood, your gender, and it will take that information and put it into metadata and delete it right away. So that information just gets fed into some massive database, but it doesn't know that it's you. So if you walk in front of that same screen 20 times, it doesn't know that it's you particularly.
Okay.
If you go to a different camera on the other side of the mall, they don't know that you've traveled from point A to point B. They're just collecting every tenth of a second, every nanosecond, they are collecting a snapshot of who is there and feeding that into the data.
And they're not keeping photos.
That's what they say, yes.
How do we know?
Well, there's a privacy investigation going on, so
right.
One would assume. It also, it's against the law to keep the photos.
Okay. But it's not against the law to take them.
That's correct. So here's where it gets kind of messy. So there's a law called PIPEDA. It's the Personal Information Protection and Electronic Documents Act. So PIPEDA is what it's called. And basically, it's against PIPEDA to collect, use, or disclose personal information without first getting the individual's consent.
Okay.
So unless you say, yes, you can have my picture, yes, I've checked off the box, they can't collect this, you know, these photos of you and keep them. What the companies maintain is because they are just taking the picture, feeding into the data and deleting it right away, like for just a nanosecond, they aren't going contrary to PIPEDA because it's all deleted within the snap of the fingers. But you'll have this kind of interesting conversation of if something exists in memory for just a nanosecond and it's immediately discarded, was it collected? Now, critics, or I guess privacy...
Well, it was collected.
It was.
They did have it in their possession even for, you know, 1/100th of a second.
That's exactly what privacy experts are saying. They say, because you had it for a long enough time, you collected it, you used it, and you brought it to feed this algorithm that you are creating. So whether you had it for a nanosecond or a week, you had it and collected it for a moment. That is what privacy experts and people who are critical of this facial recognition technology in malls are telling me. If you have it, you had it for a second because you couldn't have fed your metadata. Couldn't have fed your metadata without that picture existing.
That seems so simple to me. So what's the argument against it?
Well, it's gone. Like, they just delete it right away. So they have not collected it because by the time you even notice it, that picture is gone. It is constantly being deleted, the photo. So the malls are saying because the photos are constantly being deleted, they don't need your permission because even if you walked by a camera, by the time you would notice it, your picture's already deleted anyway. So it's not as though they need your permission because there's nothing to give out. It's gone.
Up next.
If this information exists in a nanosecond, the privacy experts I spoke with, the biggest problem is identity theft.
You can save like never before with the Scotiabank Momentum Plus Savings Account. And now, for a limited time, you can earn up to 3.2% interest until March 10th. You can find all the terms and conditions at scotiabank.com/MP. So I understand the benefits to the mall of having this data. To your point, you can analyze what particular times of day a certain kind of person is coming in and cater your store selection or promos to that. Who else gets this information? Do we know what happens with all the data they're collecting other than the company that owns the mall using it to make decisions?
Right. So the company that has the facial recognition software obviously has the data.
Yep.
The company that owns the mall or owns the cameras obviously has it. And then that metadata, one can only presume would be used as it would for any, you know, telecommunications company or whatnot. You have, if you know your target audience, if the big story knows its target audience is all people who are 20 to 30, for however you would do that, you would say, hey, advertisers, this is who's listening to our podcast. Same with the mall. They'd say, hey, all our mall goers at 8 in the morning till 11 in the morning are senior citizens going for their morning walk.
Right.
That might be your target audience. At 6 o'clock, it's all people in their 20s to 30s. And with the screen, you might change your advertising based on that. So what it would do is it would better inform the mall and the advertisers of who their target audience is to better help the customers with their advertising or marketing experience.
Are there any rules around what they can do with this data? For instance, if I was a store thinking about opening a location in a mall, can I just ask them for it? Can I say, hey, I want to know who your customers are before I decide whether or not to get into this mall? And then once that store has the data, what's stopping that store from sharing it with the rest of its company?
That's a very good question. And these are the things where if we don't know the answer to it because it's not out in the open, then there is a problem. And one of the major problems is that people don't even know this is happening in the first place. This all came to light because of a glitch at a mall.
Right.
If that glitch didn't happen, it's very possible no one would even know anything about this. And while malls are very open to the point that they have CCTV cameras around, they'll say it, they are very, very shy to say that they have facial recognition or anonymous visual analytics technology happening. They just don't say it. And I've asked mall owners, I say, why don't you just have signage to say as much? And some of them said, well, that's something we should look into. Or others just said, well, we're not required to because we're not collecting their information since it's being deleted. But no one actually has signage. There was a privacy lawyer who was said something that I think is actually kind of at the heart of the story, at least for me. When it comes to like this facial recognition technology or anything kind of similar, he said, if you can't look your customer in the eye and explain to them what you're doing, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. Because if it's for the benefit of the customer in the end and for marketing, then presumably they wouldn't mind this happening. And people are used to it. People click on, when you get emails or whatnot, you want your email address handed out to get better deals or first access to whatever. People are handing out their information all the time.
Sure.
People are comfortable with it now. This sense, facial recognition, is, yes, the next level. But there is no reason why a company should not have signage saying, by the way, here's our director of camera. We are using anonymous visual analytics to better serve you for X, Y, Z. When you think about where facial recognition is going, it's now opening our phones. It is,
right.
It's not far away from turning into passwords for us, whether it be for, who knows. It's not crazy to think that'll be helping us get into our condo buildings, our facial recognition.
Right.
And if this information exists in a nanosecond, the privacy experts I spoke with, the biggest problem is identity theft.
Yeah.
And I spoke with Anne Kavoukian, who is one of the experts, not only in Canada, but in the world on this. She's dealt with too many people that have had their identity stolen. And she says, it is such a pain to have to prove who you are. When your identity is stolen and people are making purchases on your behalf, imagine if someone has your facial recognition, somehow it got hacked or who knows what, and they have that information. Imagine what a pain it would be to prove, hey, that wasn't me.
So all these things that we're describing, just to be clear, which sound creepy and and might freak some people out, or maybe people assume that they're already just being recorded. But all of these things that sound kind of shady, none of it is outright illegal. None of it is regulated.
The Privacy Commissioner's Office doesn't have order-making power. So if they came down, at its worst, they could say, hey, by the way, Cadillac Fairview or whatever mall, what you're doing is wrong. Here's what our recommendations are to fix this practice. The company could say, thank you very much for your input. We will take this into consideration. Appreciate your time. And they may not change anything. The Federal Privacy Commissioner cannot say, hey, this is wrong. Do this. If not, you're going to get fined. I'm going to order you to do this. They don't have that power.
It's so weird to me that there's no teeth behind any other regulations around this in Canada. Is there a place that's actually kind of developed some regulation?
One thing that was recently implemented in the European Union is called the General Data Protection Regulation. What this new privacy legislation does is it incorporates something called privacy by design and also something called privacy by default. So what that means is, when there is a new technology or a new service, the most private version is the default. So say there's a new, brand new Twitter.
Right.
In the European Union, and it wants to track your location, your whatever, it has to get you to opt in because the default is the strictest privacy setting. You don't have to go in through a million settings.
And change everything.
And change everything to, I want this off, I want that off.
The way I do every 2 months on Facebook.
Exactly. So this way it's kind of set up to do it like that. That is something that a lot of advocates are lobbying for here, because that way it would get a lot of the gray zone saying, well, we don't have to do this. We had the opt-in. We have information here or there. This way, the default is the strictest. Would that solve the mall map problem in Canada? Maybe, because some of these companies are still using it in France and in England. And if they are deleting it right away, they might say that they could still say the same thing. We're not collecting information because we're deleting it right away. But the most important thing I would say is that customers are aware that it's happening so they can decide for themselves whether they feel this is an invasion of privacy or whether this is something that they feel is mutually beneficial in today's age of technology and surveillance.
Do you care if your face is being recorded if it's being deleted a nanosecond later? Would you stop? Let's say they said, we're going to do it to everybody and we don't have to tell you. Would you stop going to malls?
I might change my shopping habits. It's weird to say that because, I mean, I shop on Amazon and I know they probably track
everything.
They probably know everything about me. And I have a Google Home in my house.
And they know your address.
And they know exactly. They know everything about me.
They know what your voice sounds like.
I got a gift card recently for a shoe store and I had to go to a mall to get it. And it's a mall that's owned by Oxford Properties. And I've talked to them. They use anonymous visual analytics as well. And I found myself standing in front of the directory looking at this tiny little virtually hidden camera. And I just put my hand over the thing. Like, I know it's already got my information. I know it's already got my face. But I'm just putting my hand over the camera out of some sort of weird fight back of the thing. Because it is kind of creepy. Because CCTV cameras, I know are there. And I know what they're used for. And I know that the information is not being collected. But these ones here looking right at my face, it definitely creeps me out a bit. And the thing also on top of this is if this technology is combined with other technologies, it gets even creepier. You have GPS on your phone. Your phone is always tripping out little signals to try and connect to Wi-Fi. So that's how GPS always knows where you are. If that technology were ever combined with the facial recognition, they would know that I am standing in front of the mall and I clicked on the shoe store. And they could, technically, you could switch the cell phone Wi-Fi signal and see that I'm actually walking to the store. Did I go there? Did I actually stand in front of the cashier where I presumably made a purchase? One privacy expert I talked to, she went over, but it's like, yeah, they could have your face. Combine that with the phone. It knows where you're walking. Combine that with the credit card statement at the front. It would know whether you made a purchase or not. And she looked at me and she goes, this is not some tin hat theory. This is possible now and it could be happening. But no one knows if it's not because no one is open about what they're collecting and who they're sharing it with.
That's disturbing. But I also wonder how many people care that much. And I don't say that lightly because having this conversation, it's clear that like it freaks enough people out that they're willing to complain to the privacy commissioner and try to get things changed. But I think about all the ways, to your point, our information is already collected through your smartphone, through your smart speaker, through your smart TV or whatever other devices you have around and your GPS on your phone. And I feel like every once in a while we hear about some new way our data is being collected and people talk about it for 5 minutes. And then we kind of assume that this is the price we pay for technology and we go back to doing it anyway. Like, I'm not sure that there would be a mass exodus of people using malls.
I'm not sure there would be either. But that's just I think people should have the choice to know that these things are being collected in any mall. The malls have chosen not to share this information and the software companies have chosen not to share this information for a reason. I would maintain that it should be open and honest so that customers make a choice. If this mall A is collecting your face and your look and using that to better their stores and better their outlook, then you might want to go there. If that wears you out and mall B says, we don't do any of this, you might be more likely to go to that mall. But the idea is at least you know what is happening to you and your most private data, which is your face. And even if you say, I don't care, the second that, heaven forbid, someone steals your identity and your face, all of a sudden you care very, very deeply. As rare as that may be, if it happens to you or if you know someone who has had it happen to them, you will know that it turns into a long, long tunnel of trying to prove who you are and dealing with all the payment costs and what you purchased, what you didn't purchase. It's a massive pain. So you don't care now. If you're one of the rare people who has their face essentially stolen and used for passwords or for shopping on other countries or other malls or online, then you'll probably start caring pretty quickly.
Aaron Hutchins of McLean's. You know he'll be back. That was The Big Story, brought to you by Scotiabank. You can earn up to 3.2% interest until March 10th with a Scotiabank Momentum Plus savings account. Conditions apply. For more from us at The Big Story, you can find us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. There are 99 other episodes just waiting for you there, and a contact us form so you can tell us what should be number 101. You can also find us on social media at Big Story Podcast, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. And of course, we are wherever you get podcasts, on Google, on Apple, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on Pocket Casts. I don't know, but if you open your phone and search for a podcast app and you download it and search The Big Story, we will probably be there. And then you can rate us and review us and tell your friends. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.